Well, good morning, everybody. It's Monday morning, and we are continuing to open up our Bibles and get back in the Word. Genesis 1 to Revelation 22, going verse by verse. And this morning, we're going to be picking up in Exodus chapter 13, finishing out Exodus chapter 13. And we see today cloud and fire, pillars of cloud and fire that play a critical role, really, in the Israelites' journey as they are leaving Egypt. They've been given freedom by God, and they're now going to be journeying in the wilderness. And so this morning, the first thing we see as we look down in Exodus chapter 13, verse 17, is we see that the Lord does not lead Israel in the most direct way. And there's a reason why. He doesn't give them the fastest route to their destination. Let's look and see why. Verse 17. When Pharaoh let the people go, God did not lead them by the way of the land of the Philistines, although that was near. For God said, lest the people change their minds when they see war and return to Egypt. When Pharaoh let them go, the Lord did not lead them through the land of the Philistines. It would have been the most direct route. It would have been the fastest. If you were sitting down trying to plan your travel plans, you would probably pick the most direct route, right? The quickest way between two points is a straight line. But they were not led this way by the Lord. And the reason why was because if they went through the land of the Philistines, who honestly, as we go on in Israel's history, they got a lot of trouble with these people, a lot of warfare. If they would have, God said the people could change their minds. He knew that there would be a temptation. He knew that spiritually, the children of Israel were not strong enough. We're going to see as they journey throughout the wilderness that numerous times they fail flat on their face. But the Lord leads them through the wilderness, the Bible says elsewhere, to test them and try them, to reveal what is in their hearts. The Israelites come face to face with the childishness of their ways and their faith in many respects. They find out that they are not exactly the most faithful people. They find out that they are complainers. They find out that many times they just blatantly disobey God because of what they want to do. And the Lord knew these things were going to happen, and so he does not lead them through the land of the Philistines. Instead, in verse 18, but God led the people around by the way of the wilderness toward the Red Sea. And the people of Israel went up out of the land of Egypt equipped for battle. God leads them, and he leads them in a way, too, that's going to display his might and his power and his glory to a much greater degree. He is leading them through the wilderness, and the wilderness has such an important point throughout the scripture. Jesus goes through 40 days in the wilderness before he begins his ministry. The Israelites spend years in the wilderness before they ever enter the promised land. And David, King David, runs for years in the wilderness before he ever becomes king. The wilderness and this season has a very important part in our Christian lives. There's a refining aspect to that solitude and that even desolation around us in strengthening our faith and resolve in God. And God leads the people through the wilderness, and he leads them toward the Red Sea. And this is the amazing thing, because every detail in God's plan has a purpose. God is leading them toward the Red Sea for a reason. The people are armed for war, but the people are not ready for conflict. If they fight, God says, they're going to probably change their minds. They're not strong enough if they get in conflict right now to stay the course. They're going to want to turn around and go back to Egypt. And we're going to see them say that, not to give too many spoiler alerts as we go on, but we're going to see the children of Israel multiple times want to throw in the towel and go back to Egypt. They want to go back and be slaves because they think it's a better life than the difficult life in the wilderness in preparing for the promised land. But God is leading them toward the Red Sea, and this is incredible because he's leading them to a place where God is going to display his power in a miraculous way. Now, the Red Sea was not the Reed Sea. It was not a marshy ground where they kind of tiptoe over some cattail-like papyrus-type weeds. No, it was nothing like that. This was not the Reed Sea. It was the Red Sea. And God was leading them here because when they get to the Red Sea, and we're going to see this, Lord willing, this week, the water is going to part. There's going to be two mountains of water on each side. That's not going to happen in some shallow marshland. And the children of Israel are going to go through. And then those sea waters are going to cover over and destroy their pursuers as God displays His power and protection for His people. So as He's leading them and guarding them from war, He's also leading them to the Red Sea, which is going to symbolize God's power and strength. And it also symbolizes, in the New Testament, baptism, how God takes us through the waters, and it's literally like He brings death from life. As we are baptized in obedience to the Lord Jesus Christ, we are buried underneath the waters and raised again to new life, is what it symbolizes, that our old life is gone. And the children of Israel, as they go through the Red Sea, it symbolizes how their old life enslaved to Egypt, and that picture sin in the Bible is what Egypt is a symbol of. They are brought through and given new life, taken through the waters. There is so much symbolism and foreshadowing here of what Jesus ultimately is going to do in the future of the Jewish people and in the past for us, what He's still doing today in lives as He transforms us. We go on here in verse 19 this morning, and we see something else. So we've seen, first of all, that God leads the people of Israel, but not the most direct way, because He's protecting them. He also leads them toward the Red Sea, where He's going to show His deliverance. And then here in verses 19 and 20, we see this. Moses took the bones of Joseph with him, for Joseph had made the sons of Israel solemnly swear, saying, God will surely visit you, and you shall carry up my bones with you from here. And they moved on from Succoth, and encamped at Etham on the edge of the wilderness. Now this is such an amazing promise. When Joseph, who was the favorite son of Jacob, and became known as Israel, when Joseph died, he was the one that was sold into slavery by his brothers to Egypt. He was raised up by God, and he set aside the great stores of food within Egypt to provide for them in the known world during that worldwide famine that took place. Egypt was an incredible figure and symbolic of Christ in many things that he did in his life. But Joseph made the people of Israel promise before he died, when I die, take my bones with you to the land of Canaan, because God's going to give you the promised land one day. And so here, in fulfillment of that promise, recognizing God has freed them as He promised that He would, God always keeps His promises, brothers and sisters. We can trust in the promises of God. And they go forward keeping this promise. And they begin to move on, and they camp, and they camp at Etham, and they're on the very edge of the wilderness that God is going to take them through. And then we see verse 21 and 22. We see our title of today's lesson, the cloud and fire. And the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of cloud to lead them along the way, and by night a pillar of fire to give them light, that they might travel by day and night. The pillar of cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night did not depart from the people of Israel. God was always with them through all of this. He was in the cloud, He was in the fire, and it signifies really God's guidance and His protection. He was not only something using this pillar of cloud and this pillar of fire, not only did God give them clear direction, but He gave them protection. Not just the direction, but the protection that they needed, because this pillar of fire is going to then be critical in God protecting them when the armies of Pharaoh come to pursue them. And in our lives, sometimes it may seem like God is guiding us clearly, but we wonder, is He going to protect us? Brothers and sisters, I want to encourage you, He will protect us. He is the God who has saved us from eternal fire and hell. And He is the God who is mighty to save, who is with us right now in the daily grind. We can turn to Him every day. He was leading His children of Israel, some couple million people at least, through the wilderness. He provided for their needs. He fed them, He cared for them, He protected them, He guided them every step of the way. and he had a purpose and a plan in the middle of everything. And so the lesson we can learn this morning is that our God is with us. He is with us to direct and to protect. He provides and he guards us, and we have his precious promise. He's with us every step of the way, and his perfect plan will come to fruition. Father, this morning, we thank you for your word. We thank you once again that as we look at Exodus, Father, there are so many lessons for us to learn. Father, we thank you that Jesus is our ever-present Savior, that he is with us, that he is the one we can look to throughout all times. Whether we're going through the middle of a Red Sea or whether we're walking through the desert, Father, we can trust in you. And I pray this morning that you would help us to trust in you, Father. Strengthen our trust. Father, also deepen our maturity. Father, when we're going through a hard time in our lives, like the children of Israel, we see what's in our heart. We see the childishness. We see the complaining. We see the inclinations of our heart toward things that are not good, idols and security that is not finding its source in you. Father, refine those things and help us to simply and completely trust in you. We give you the praise and the honor and the glory this morning, Father, and thank you that Jesus is our risen and ever-present Savior. Amen.